And here on KBRB, we are joined on the phone lines by Nebraska 43rd District State Senator Colonel Tom Brewer following the legislature's special session and the redistricting process. Colonel, appreciate you taking the time. And I guess first off, just wanted to see how you're holding up.
Well, we're doing good. Obviously still on chemo and probably will be for a number of months. With leukemia, it's kind of how your blood numbers look on how long they continue the procedure to make sure that they get rid of it. But the type of chemo I'm on has been kinder and gentler of late, so it's not as taxing as it was before.
We wish you the best of luck on that, as you I guess you're not your first rodeo, unfortunately, on that go round, but certainly wish you the best there. I'm thinking you looking at things that you were able to get through that special session and be a part of that despite going through those health issues. And tell you what, looks like the old horse is going to need a little more fuel if you plan to travel the 43rd district by horseback again anytime soon. Can you talk about how much larger the district became after the redistricting?
Yes, we went through a lot of different scenarios, and of course change is something that nobody wants, but because of the change in population, the 43rd had to change. Part of that was because Senator Ergman's district changed so drastically with the numbers that left Sidney, Nebraska, and Western Nebraska as a whole has lost numbers. So in doing that, in order not to lose his district, because originally the plan was to steal three districts from Western and Central Nebraska to move into Lincoln and Omaha, and there are those of us that dug in our heels and said, no, we aren't going to allow that to happen, because there will be a point that we have just lost their ability to represent the people of Western Nebraska if we are diced into such a large piece that one or two people represent most of Western Nebraska. And if you look at the sheer number of acres or square miles, you know, we are comparable to many countries in Europe. So to have one representative when in just a matter of a few blocks in Lincoln or Omaha you have a representative, there's just no way to find a degree of fairness in that. So we dug in our heels, we fought, we went back and forth, and I wasn't totally pleased with the outcome, but it was one where it was a compromise where we literally lost one district, Senator Williams's, which is in the vicinity of Cozad, Lexingburg, Gothenburg, and that included Broken Bow in Custer County. And so what the decision was, the final one, was that we would give Box Butte County in its entirety, to include the city of Alliance, to Senator Ergman and that district there from 47th. And in that, we would also give counties to North Platte. That used to be a standalone area that had enough population. With the increase to 40,000 per district, they needed more area. And so with that, I had to give up the counties to the north of North Platte, which you know, included Thomas and Hooker, and of course Grant went over to Senator Ergman. And the counties we picked up were Custer, Rock, and Boyd, which actually are a good fit. That part I didn't have a problem with. Numerically, it has come out in a positive way. And it's, you know, it's kind of like country to what we have now. So, you know, in the end, I think it was the way that we saved districts from Western Nebraska. We reset the 43rd in a way that I think, it works to the type of folks that we have in the 43rd and the needs. So I'm good with it, but it was a long, painful process.
Well, with the census data, there was just no way to keep from dissolving at least one outstate district somewhere. And, you know, what were the general dynamics of that debate? Were a lot of the urban senators kind of sympathetic to say, hey, we know how large an area you're already covering. Let's kind of see how we can make this work without just completely taking away one of the already large districts and cutting them into several others?
I think they understood that if they wanted to continue the fight to take three districts from us, that was going to negatively affect the outcome of the entire process. There was interest in, of course, everything from the school board break out to regions, and because keep in mind, we do all the maps. It isn't just that, the judiciary maps,
right,
and of course the congressional maps. So that was the big, I don't know if we're going to call it big prize, but the biggest one of all that needed to be debated. Now, we were blessed to have a great chairman in Lou Anne Linehan. Senator Linehan did a magnificent job of trying to herd cats and keep this thing from running off the rails. The vice chair, Senator Wayne, actually, I think, worked very hard to help Western Nebraska. He had been out to the governor's turkey hunt. He'd been out here to different locations with Game and Parks, and has kind of a love for Western Nebraska. So he kind of helped us and made sure that it was a fair bargaining process. And I think that's what helped us in the end to come to a resolution. And once we had the state kind of broke up in a way that was acceptable to the majority of the members of the board, then, of course, the fight went to the congressional race.
Well, yeah, I wanted to have you talk about that. And, you know, the congressional districts changed just a little with the population shift continuing eastward. So, you know, talk about that debate, how political it became. And, of course, in the last election, there was that blue dot in the second district going for President Biden, and in a, you know, a nonpartisan legislature that still is more Republican than Democratic in the state. Talk about how that conversation went, and if the proposals were really geared towards seeing if they could remove what you would call that blue dot from Nebraska.
Well, I think there was an interest on the part of some to do that. I kind of stayed on the fence for a while and listened to the debate, and when we had the pushback on splitting Douglas County, and I listened to some of it, I had to kind of agree that it did make sense to leave Douglas County as a whole, because they are not quite a district population-wise. And I think the compromise came in that we stretched it to the west and into an area that would probably be considered more Republican than Democrat. That changed the dynamics of the district to where I think in the past that was a very 50-50 district. I think that's probably more of a 45-55 favoring the more conservative voter. And then some of that was taken from Adrian Smith's area in the 3rd district. Some of it was taken from the 1st. And when the dust settled, I think what you have is probably 3 districts which tend to, well, of course, the 3rd leans incredibly conservative or Republican, and I think both Fortenberry and Don Bacon's districts now probably are in their favor and by a considerable margin. So I think in the end that we probably had a resolution that if they could have it over to do over again, they probably wouldn't want it that way, but it is the final outcome, and we'll see what happens in the next election, but I think Don Bacon will fare pretty well.
Well, yeah, he certainly fared better than the President Trump did in that second district. I wonder if, you know, the first district is somewhat not quite a toss up anymore. But I wondered if you were moving some of the pieces out of the second district to add that western portion. Did that typically put more what you would call Democratic areas into the first district and make that one a little closer?
Yeah, I think it did, but, you know, we also added a county that is fairly conservative in the way they voted in the past. So I think the balance in the end will probably keep a reasonable balance on the conservative side on both of those districts, moving Bacon's more in that direction. And it solved the issue of splitting Douglas County, although Douglas is going to have to be split in 10 years because it's just going to grow too big. Of course, the biggest area of growth is in Sarpy County and around Bellevue, Offutt, and then to the south of there. And that will probably continue to grow, too. It's just part of that migration that's coming out of Omaha now.
Well, you know, as you're in there and you're visiting with other senators, I mean, the dynamics of how you serve your constituency are so different. And I wondered if you guys ever sit down and just talk about that and talk about the logistics of you trying to get to the communities in your district and how that's almost impossible to do over a full day while you have, as you mentioned, other legislators that can literally walk their districts.
We had a rather heated discussion on the special session, and that was part of the topic. As I said, you know, at the rate we're going, you now have given me near 20,000 square miles to manage, and many in this room will not manage one square mile.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about roads. You don't have to worry about bridges. You don't have to worry about Brandon Special. You don't have to worry about any of these things that eat up so much of our time. You don't have constant meetings with Game and Parks working on issues. And so I said, you know, there's a point you have to understand that this is not a situation where you can do justice to the constituents of your district, because I'm staffed the same as any other senator. And yet your staff are asleep or not even at their office for most of the year, except for when we're session. And my folks are running ragged trying to answer the phone and get back with folks. And so they said, well, you know, in the future we're going to try and push more money to western and central Nebraska, to the small communities, to do economic development. You know, in the back of mind, I thought, well, that sounds good now. We'll see when you start doing these Blueprint Nebraska type projects. And 98% of it goes to Lincoln or Omaha, and that doesn't usually goes to a Grand Island, a Kearney, or a North Platte. So, you know, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. Tomorrow night I'm going to announce a plan to take some of this $1 billion in federal money that's coming into the state and say, listen, I want a big chunk of that, and I want it to go to western Nebraska and to some of these small communities, and then I think we need to take a look at a huge influx of money. You know, 25 million plus needs to go to Game and Parks to stand up all of our facilities around the state, to, you know, everything from fiber optic to paving areas to improving the quality of the facilities so that, you know, they're upgraded to where you can bring conferences there from anywhere in the country and you can manage it. The rooms you live in are the quality of a nice motel room. There's locations where it's really been allowed to degrade because they have to live hand to mouth on the money they make from fees. And that's not how we become a tourism state, is to do that. And so we have some ideas, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire and see if they follow with their words or not and allow that money to flow to western and central Nebraska.
Well, in addition to trying to get some of those federal stimulus or COVID dollars allocated, and, you know, obviously going to be focusing on your health here in this next, you know, numerous months, any other pieces of legislation that you're kind of researching and working on between now and the start of the January session before we let you go?
Well, there's probably a dozen bills we're working on. You know, the ones that are going to get the most, press, of course, is we're going to do constitutional carry. We think that, you know, if you haven't broken any laws and you are a taxpaying citizen of Nebraska and you wish to carry a weapon, that you should have the right to do that. And that's going to come under a heated, horrible debate. And how it comes out, I don't know. But what it will do is hold some feet to the fire of those folks who claim to support the Second Amendment. And we'll give it an opportunity to talk about it, and come fall, next November, we'll get a chance for the people to see how they voted in the legislature. So that's coming. Of course, we're still working issues with the brand committee, trying to get them tracking on track, which I understand it splits the district, but it's still an issue we've got to work. And I think Game and Parks is going to be a big part of our discussion and how we get them up to speed. We'll have a new director. Jim Douglas is leaving, and Tim McCoy is coming in. And I'm going to set the bar much higher for them, but I'm also going to give them the resources to do it. And I think that's the secret there, is don't bitch about it unless you're willing to help them get to the point where they're better. So it's going to be busy, and we've got a goal of by mid-December, before I give folks a Christmas break, that we have the legislation written and ready to drop, because we're not going to go through this hassle of those first 10 days when we have to drop bills, writing bills. Because that's when you don't research them, you don't get approval from the Attorney General, and you get them stuffed back down your throat. And I don't want that to happen. I want to be ready when the time comes.
Well, we'll probably catch up with you again as the session gets underway. Wish you the best and your continued chemo treatments and things, and we'll hope to catch up with you again and hear that those things are going well when we talk to you again down the road.
Well, great. Thanks for checking in, and appreciate the time.
43rd District State Senator Tom Brewer joining us here on KBRB following that completion of the special session of the legislature.